4:35 on Downtown on your Tuesday afternoon, live at Seasons 427 Main Street, Bangor, at our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios.
It's a sign of the times that your love for me is getting so much stronger.
Friend of Downtown, Petula Clark, checking in, and another friend of the program on the telephone line right now. You know him from the Boston Globe, ESPN, author, man about town. It's Bob Ryan joining us this afternoon, freed from the clutches of Woody Page. We got him here.
Ed Sullivan used to call her Petula.
That's right. I remember that.
So, what's up?
Well, let's talk, first of all, a little baseball. You're a huge baseball guy, I know. Even though it was only five games, I thought this was an awfully good World Series. How about you?
I'm looking at the totality of the playoffs as being very good, and being very good for baseball and for baseball fans, culminating in a World Series in which the Royals made history, and they truly did make history, and in their comeback ability and in their contact nature. When they go in a game and they do not swing and miss at a single fastball, in an era where we are looking at an all-time strikeout ratio throughout the season, that's really amazing. I mean, you have to be judicious with the words always and never, as you well know, but I'm not sure we've ever seen a more interesting approach to the situation in modern times as the Royals have. It's not easily emulated, believe me, and I don't know if they can even duplicate it next year. But they were fun to watch. I'm glad it's over. I mean, you know, it's November. It's time for something else. But I must say I was enjoying watching them play.
Major League Baseball struggling to get back to where they used to be, which was not all that great when it came to minority managers. Dusty Baker, hired by the Washington Nationals today. Has Major League Baseball got to do a better job of getting not just African Americans, but Latino managers in the dugout?
Latino managers are actually a more interesting concern in the sense that the ability to speak Spanish is, I think, so vital in both running a team and covering a team, and so that's a very big problem, no question. But as far as Dusty Baker is concerned and the black situation, I'm glad he got hired in that regard, no question. Although to me, what's is equally interesting about his particular hire is that it's old school versus new school. Mm. This is far from an analytics guy. This is capital O, capital S, old school, who happens to be black. That's the way I look at it with him. And he's a three-time manager of the year. He's been to a World Series. He's a guy of known stature, but not everybody's favorite manager. He runs pitchers very hard. He doesn't seem to understand what a leadoff man is. But, I mean, the analytics people, the sabermetrics people, don't like him at all. Has nothing to do with the color of his skin. But he does have track record. But baseball, I mean, Rich, the problem is going to get worse before it gets better. In fact, it's gotten far worse because the talent pool of baseball players, of black players, has shrunk so much, and therefore the avenue for to find a qualified, or not qualified, anybody to manage, there aren't many guys anymore around. I'm looking at certain players in baseball right now and whether they would be interested. One of them just retired. I would have to think that if he chooses to get involved in the managerial track, that Torrey Hunter would have a heads up. But there aren't that many Torrey Hunters around anymore.
Red Sox today picked up the option on Clay Buchholz. He has had moments of greatness, but a lot of times that frustrate both Red Sox management, I'm sure, and fans alike. Should he be a part of this team going forward?
I thought there was a very interesting analysis of it in the Boston Globe today with Nick Cafardo. In terms of where he fits into a big scheme of things and how much do you want to invest in him. And let's face it, he's never thrown 200 innings or made 30 starts. So he's a very talented third or fourth starter on a good team. That's what he should be. And is that worth $13 million? I guess in today's market it may be. When he's on, he's really good. He's really good. And he's had a couple of stretches where he's been among the handful of best pitchers in the league. But he's fragile, as we know, and you can set your watch by him going on the DL at some point during the season. So he can't be your ace. If you think that 13 is a worthy investment for him to be the third guy, great. And he's a terrific third guy.
We're talking with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. I thought of you before the last World Series game the other night. Did you get to see Tony Bennett sing?
I did. And at 88, it's phenomenal. I mean, when you think about the fact, well, Sinatra was already dead for 6 years at 88. Let's put it that way. When you think about octogenarian singers and what's left of their voices in general terms, not much. He has to go down as good an octogenarian singer as the world of popular music has ever known. It's remarkable. His vitality, his energy, his spirit is he's going to, you know, he's going to have the big one on stage someday. I think that's what he wants. He doesn't want to quit, and he's not, and he shouldn't quit. He's still highly qualified to for your money to be spent to go hear him sing. It's an amazing American career.
I saw a great analysis the other night. Somebody said on social media that here he is singing before a game with the young Mets pitchers going. He had his first number one song when DiMaggio was still playing outfield.
Yeah, I'm sure that Rags to Riches, right, I think that was when it came along, or Cold, Cold Heart, they were back in the early 50s. I didn't see that. I love it. I absolutely love that. And that kind of puts Tony Bennett's career in perspective. You know, there's been a couple of biographies of him that are out there, and I recommend them. And he, one of the things that affected his life, and as it did millions and millions of others, but he's one of them, is World War II, and he was profoundly influenced by the combat that he saw and the things he saw. You don't think about Tony Bennett in those terms, but you should.
Bob, you wrote a really wonderful piece a couple of weeks ago in the Globe about the Celtics and what may be the biggest challenge for Brad Stevens this year, and that's having a dozen NBA-caliber players on this roster and trying to keep them all happy.
Caliber players of a certain level, right. NBA players, they're all qualified to be in the NBA. There maybe many of them should be sixth and seventh men. He may have seven or eight guys in that category. On good teams, I mean, six and seven on the good teams. Already he's got a crisis. Throughout the first game didn't even count. It was against the 76ers. In the last two games, his starting five has let him down. They're not scoring enough, and they're not shooting well. He does have options. So his first challenge of the new season, three games into the 82, is going to be how far does he go with guys who aren't producing right now, specifically Jay Crowder, David Lee, who I love, and I'm confident he's going to be okay. So I wouldn't get, Tyler Zeller. So he's got decisions to make already. He has options, and he's got a couple guys that played better off the bench than these guys were starting, namely Jared Sullinger. So we'll see how he reacts to all this. It's just as I suspected. It's going to be a very difficult and challenging type of team to coach.
Now, Sullinger, a lot of people were ready to write off this summer, but he's played pretty well in the early going. Where do you see him fitting into this team?
He is an X factor in the sense of we know his obvious strengths. He's a born rebounder. He's a good inside scorer. He's got excellent hands. This question has been the body type is a type that doesn't wear well in general terms unless he really refigures it. And as I recommended, pull a Paul Silas and don't wait as long as Silas did. Silas waited until he was 29 before he lost 35 pounds and became a great player. You don't want Sullinger to think he's going to wait until he's 29. But he's got to get into better shape than he's ever been and to fulfill his potential. But he has a lot to offer. I've always liked him and liked the – I put it this way, Rich. I like the idea of him a lot. The reality of him is a little less palatable.
For New England sports fans who were disappointed with the Red Sox 3 out of 4 years finishing last, the Celtics rebuild, the Bruins struggles, you had a nice reminder in Sunday's Globe of how lucky we are to be New England sports fans with run.
People's memories are way too short, obviously. We were in the golden age of the Patriots, obviously, number one. However, let's not forget that though we've had three times in the last 4 years the Red Sox have finished last, they won three championships between 2004 and 2013. Which would have been unimaginable right up to Game 3 of the 2004 Yankee series when they're down 0-3 and got beat 19-8, and you know that they're going to get knocked out and within a day or two, except it didn't happen. But anyway, yes, I just want people to understand that. Plus, the idea of having superstars. We've had the greatest basketball winner, or the winner in the history of American sport, and Bill Russell. We've had the greatest hockey player in Bobby Orr. We got maybe the greatest hitter in Ted Williams. Before you even get to Larry Bird, before you even get to Ray Bourque, before you even get to and then ultimately now to to the greatest quarterback we've ever known, and maybe one, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. He'll be in the discussion. And the year that Brady is having at this age has seldom been seen in the history of the league. And I just, you know, I just always want people to understand and appreciate when the good old days are, and the good old days are still right now.
Bob, I saw you tweet on Friday about the Harvard-Dartmouth game, a big win for Tim Murphy, and we had a vested interest in that up here with two former Maine Black Bear football coaches in Murph and Buddy Tevens going head-to-head.
That is really something. And, of course, the idea of them being legitimately best friends from high school and from growing up together in Kingston, Mass, and the other town, and going to high school at Silver Lake High School, being best friends, being godfather children, being best men at weddings kind of thing, and then waging a game like that where one of their hearts had to be broken. Of course, it was Buddy's, because it looked like that game was in the bag. Not in the bag, but they had the game under control, and then there was a fumble, and Harvard took advantage of it. And it was a terrific football game, I must say, and that lived up to its hype. But people have to understand, Harvard is now 42-4 in the last 4.5 years. And what Tim Murphy has done there to take over that league is not getting enough credit locally, I can promise you that.
Bob, before we let you go, today is, along with Election Day in many places, National Sandwich Day. Are you a sandwich guy? Do you have a favorite sandwich?
Well, in my old days, I've had to change my eating habits a little bit. And I would have been hard to turn down a good steak and cheese.
Mm.
A good steak and cheese sub would have been probably the ne plus ultra for me, but all kinds of good subs. I had a nice chicken salad sandwich today, so I celebrated Sandwich Day with a nice chicken salad sandwich.
Excellent. I like the sound of that, too. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Bob, always a treat to talk to you. Thanks again for making time
for
us.
Okay, my pleasure always. Take care.
We'll see you soon. Bob Ryan checking in on Downtown. It's